So this is dangerous even for the men behind the gun. Cover your ears. Ready? Fire!
Hey.
God save the king!
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Come along and join me for a visit with Dominic Miller on the shores of the Straits of Mackinac. A cannon salute by redcoat soldiers nicely set the tone for our arrival at the historic 18th century colonial Michilimackinac fort and fur trading village. More than 16 structures have been painstakingly recreated utilizing years of archaeological excavations and in situ research, ongoing since 1959. Dominic also takes us to the nearby Old Mackinac Point Lighthouse and talks about Michilimack's connection with the nearby historic fort on Mackinac Island.
My name is Dominic. We're here at Colonial Michilimackinac this morning and showing a little bit of our interpretation that we do here at Colonial Michilimackinac.
When did this start as a fort?
The French constructed this fort in 1715. It was built to protect the fur trade that was flourishing in the Straits of Mackinac, and this eventually became the hub of the Upper Great Lakes fur trade here. A lot of money came through this area throughout the 1700s. British took control of this fort in the 1760s after the French and Indian War. It remained a British fort up until the 1780s when during the American Revolution, the British forces here, fearing an attack from the Americans, moved this fort over to the much more defensible cliffs of Mackinac Island. So that kind of takes you through the 1715 up to the 1780s when this fort was active.
Since Mackinac Island is so close, we can see it out there. What happened ultimately to the British presence there?
The British maintained control of Fort Mackinac until 1796, so a few years after the Revolution has ended. And that's important because in 1812, the United States and Great Britain are at war once again. The War of 1812 has begun. One of the very first land engagements of that war actually takes place on Mackinac Island. The British, recognizing the importance of this area and recognizing the importance of the fur trade, decided to retake Fort Mackinac. They land a force of soldiers, voyageurs, Native Americans, and a couple of cannons over on the north shore of Mackinac Island and move over to the high ground behind Fort Mackinac. If you remember, they've been in Fort Mackinac for 16 years before. They know the strengths and, more importantly, the weaknesses of that fort over there. And taking that high ground behind the fort, they fire a warning shot down at the Americans, and the Americans, caught totally off guard, have no idea war has been declared, and surrender that fort without a fight. And the British retake Fort Mackinac, reclaim a presence here in the Upper Great Lakes. They keep that fort until 1815. The Americans do try to take it back in 1814 unsuccessfully, but the Treaty of Ghent ends the War of 1812, and the Americans do get that fort back in 1815, and that's
so ever since there.
Yeah, it's an American fort since then. So that's the end of the British presence up here in the Upper Great Lakes, or at least northern Michigan at that point in time.
And we had a United States military presence there for quite a long time.
Oh, absolutely. The Americans retake control in 1815, and that's an active military installation until 1895. Sometimes with more soldiers, sometimes with less, and during the Civil War, it's virtually abandoned. But eventually, Mackinac Island becomes America's second national park after Yellowstone, but it's still an active military installation during that time, and that's one of the busier times in that fort's history. So not only is it drilling and doing the active military components of that fort, but they're actually maintaining a national park as well, and the post commander over there is running the fort and also maintaining a national park and doing everything entailed with that. So, but there's a military presence on Mackinac Island until 1895.
Tell us where we are in Michigan in approximation to Canada, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We're on the very northern tip of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, right at the base of the Mackinac Bridge before we get to the Upper Peninsula. We're about 60 miles to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and then the bridge there to Canada. So we're about 60 miles from the roadway to Canada, at least right here. We're sitting very much around the shores of Lake Michigan, as high up as we can go in the northern Lower Peninsula of Michigan right now.
So when people talk about the mitten of Michigan, you're probably the index finger up there.
Oh, my middle finger is the tallest finger. We're at the very top of the head right now. Where we can't go any further in northern Lower Michigan, we're in Lake Michigan right now.
Very cool. How many other national parks are in Michigan or nearby?
There's Isle Royale National Park, which is up in the north of the Upper Peninsula up in Michigan. And we too have two national lakeshores here in Michigan as well. There's Sleeping Bears National Lakeshore over near Traverse City. And there's also Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore up in the Upper Peninsula. Gorgeous areas. We have, of course, a former national park here in Mackinac, but Michigan's first state park.
So explain a little bit about former national park.
Absolutely. Well, in the late 1800s, when Mackinac Island becomes a national park in 1875, there is no National Park Service. So the War Department is running Fort Mackinac, and they're also running the National Park. And they do that for 20 years. They bring a second company of soldiers there, so it's actually one of the busier times in Mackinac Island's history. By 1895, though, after 20 years of running both a national park and an active military installation, the United States government decides to shutter Fort Mackinac, move these soldiers elsewhere where they would be a more strategic location. So they shutter Fort Mackinac. They close Fort Mackinac. It could have been devastating for Mackinac Island. However, through the work of some senators and people in Michigan's government and the national government, saves Fort Mackinac and transfer those lands from the United States government to the state of Michigan to create Michigan's first state park in that national park area. It is not a national park site now. It is a state park now, Michigan's very first state park.
Very interesting. Dominic, now we're right nearby at a lighthouse. Tell us about this facility and the history.
Absolutely. Well, now we're at Old Mackinac Point Lighthouse here on the shores of Lake Huron now, right at the base of the Mackinac Bridge. Old Mackinac Point Lighthouse was built in 1892. It was active until 1957 when the opening of the Mackinac Bridge made the lighthouse obsolete. Now we have it as a museum with all four buildings open and available here for visitors to come and enjoy.
Before 1957, everybody pretty much had to take a ferry boat?
Oh, absolutely. To get to Mackinac Island or get to the Upper Peninsula, yeah, it was a car ferry service to take you up north or the other ferry service to get you over to Mackinac Island. And between the ferry service and then the freighter business that would come through here, the Straits of Mackinac have always posed a treacherous passage for ships to get through. And they made lighthouses here important and necessary here in the Straits area.
And how many shipwrecks over the years?
We have 80 identified wrecks here in the Straits area. There are no doubt countless more that have not been identified as of yet. But of those 80, we have our shipwreck museum and our movie, and we discuss 10 of those wrecks in detail here with artifacts and models of the ships and things like that to kind of give the story of those 10 wrecks here in the Straits area.
Was there a life-saving station here, too?
There was a Coast Guard station on Mackinac Island. There's a Coast Guard station over in Sheboygan. And so there are life-saving stations that are still active here in the area.
For further information about the lighthouse.
Absolutely. Please visit us at MackinacParks.com. You can get a full overview history of Old Mackinac Point Lighthouse as well as all of our historic sites here in the Straits of Mackinac. My name is Dominic Miller, Group Travel Special Events in the Marketing Department here of the Mackinac State Historic Parks.
Dominic, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for visiting us today.
Yes, a website.
MackinacParks.com. My name is Dominic Miller. I'm the Group Travel Special Events here at the Mackinac State Historic Parks, and we're always excited to have visitors, even if they don't visit our sites necessarily, but at least learn about our sites, and hopefully we can pique their interest, and maybe eventually they'll come up and be a part of a living history component here of Northern Michigan.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.